Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're going deep into AI security and how it's changing critical infrastructure and industrial systems.
Yeah, those systems that keep everything running, right? Like the power grid, financial networks, and even healthcare.
Yeah, exactly. All that stuff.
Definitely worth a deep dive, especially with all the changes happening so fast.
Right. And for today's Deep Dive, we're looking at Paula Livingstone's blog post called "The Industrial Security Paradigm for AI in Critical Systems."
Great post. Really lays it all out.
It is. And I think the biggest takeaway from it for me is that AI isn't just an IT problem anymore.
Yeah, definitely not just about data breaches like it used to be.
Right. I mean, remember when AI was mostly like Netflix recommendations?
Yeah, or like those chatbots that couldn't really understand what you're saying.
Yeah. But now it's controlling power grids and helping doctors diagnose diseases.
Livingstone really drives that point home in her post.
Yeah, she does.
We're talking like national security issues now.
No kidding. Like imagine a factory just shuts down because of some AI glitch.
Or the stock market goes haywire because of a bad algorithm.
And it's not just hypothetical either.
Oh yeah, it's happening already.
Livingstone actually cites a stat that 77% of companies have already had AI-related security breaches.
Just in the past year.
Crazy, right? It makes you wonder if our old cybersecurity tools are even enough anymore.
Yeah, those firewalls and air gaps, they just weren't built for this kind of stuff.
Exactly. Like, what about data poisoning? Where someone messes with the AI's training data?
Yeah, it's like if you tampered with a recipe to ruin a cake.
Good analogy.
So, like with a self-driving car, if its AI was trained on bad data, it might think a stop sign is a green light.
Yikes.
And in an industrial setting, that could be disastrous.
Definitely. Like, imagine an AI controlling a power grid suddenly making bad decisions because of bad data.
That's a blackout waiting to happen.
And then there's those adversarial inputs.
Oh, yeah, where you basically trick the AI by exploiting how it processes information.
Like creating an optical illusion for a machine.
That's a good way to think about it. So, like a security camera with AI image recognition.
Right.
Someone could manipulate the image just slightly. So the AI misses a real threat.
Oh, wow.
Or thinks a harmless object is dangerous.
That's wild.
And in a factory or plant, they could cause a major security breach or even an accident.
And then there's model inversion, which sounds like something out of a spy movie.
Yeah, that was pretty freaky.
Hackers basically reverse engineer the AI to steal information, right?
Yep. They basically figure out how the AI works and then use that to get sensitive data.
Like the AI's blueprint.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Livingstone uses the example of a power grid's AI model being inverted to reveal all its vulnerabilities.
Wow. So it's like giving the attacker a map of all the weak points.
Exactly.
It's really scary when you think about it.
It is. And it shows that AI security isn't just about protecting data anymore. It's about protecting entire systems.
And the people who depend on them.
Right. And as AI gets more integrated into these systems, the lines between IT security and operational technology security are getting blurrier.
So it's not just about protecting data on a server. It's about protecting physical processes in the real world.
Exactly. And that's where all these new regulations and frameworks come in, like IEC 62443 and NIS2 and DORA.
And the EU AI Act.
Yeah, it seems like everyone's trying to figure out how to govern this new AI landscape.
For sure, and it's a lot to keep up with.
It is, but Livingstone does a good job of breaking it down in her post.
He does. So let's start with IEC 62443, which has been the gold standard for industrial control systems for a while.
Right, but how does it apply to AI systems? That's the big question.
Yeah, because those are constantly learning and changing.
Right, traditional OT security was built for more static systems.
So how do you apply those same principles to something that's always evolving?
It's definitely a challenge, but I think the core principles of IEC 62443, like defense in depth and access control, are still really relevant.
Okay, so we need to adapt them for this new world of AI.
Yeah, we need to think of AI models as critical assets, just like any other part of the system.
And protect them accordingly?
Exactly. Imagine if the AI controlling a critical process was suddenly updated with a bad model. That's something IEC 62443 needs to address.
Yes, so we need to control access to the training data, secure the environments where those AI decisions are made, and have systems in place to detect any manipulation.
And monitor for any changes in the AI's behavior.
Right, so it's a pretty big shift in thinking.
It is. It's about taking a more holistic approach to security, and that's where NIS2 comes in.
Okay, so what's different about NIS2?
Well, one big thing is that it explicitly includes AI-driven systems in its definition of critical infrastructure.
So not just power grids and transportation systems, but things like healthcare diagnostics as well.
Exactly. Anything that relies on AI and could have major consequences if it failed.
So it's not just about protecting a company's data anymore. It's about protecting society as a whole.
Exactly. And NIS2 also mandates much stricter security controls and incident reporting.
It's like moving from voluntary guidelines to actual enforceable laws.
Right. And it shows how seriously governments are taking AI security.
And then there's DORA, which is focused on the financial sector.
Yeah, that one's interesting because it highlights the double-edged sword of AI in finance.
On the one hand, it can help with things like risk assessment and fraud detection.
But on the other hand, it could also be used to commit fraud on a massive scale.
So if AI can be used to catch criminals, it can also be used by criminals.
Exactly. And that's why DORA mandates things like continuous risk monitoring and adversarial testing.
So you have to constantly be on the lookout for AI-driven threats and test your systems against those threats.
It's all about being proactive, not reactive.
Which seems to be a theme across all these regulations.
Definitely. And that's just the beginning. As AI becomes more sophisticated, these regulations are going to have to evolve as well.
It's a whole new world we're entering, and it's moving fast.
It is. But the good news is that we're starting to have the tools and frameworks to navigate it safely.
Okay, so we've talked about the regulations, but what about the practical side of building secure AI systems? What are the engineering challenges involved?
Well, that's where things get really interesting. Livingston talks about the expanding attack surface and the risks associated with the AI supply chain.
Okay, let's break those down. What do we mean by the expanding attack surface?
Basically, as we integrate AI into more systems, we're creating more entry points for attackers.
It's like adding more doors and windows to a house, each one a potential vulnerability.
Exactly. And those vulnerabilities are unique to AI, like those data poisoning and adversarial attacks we talked about earlier.
So can you give me some specific examples of how those attacks could actually play out?
Sure. Imagine a manufacturing plant where AI controls a production line.
Okay.
An attacker could poison the data used to train the AI, causing it to make faulty products.
Oh, wow.
That could lead to recalls, financial losses, even damage to the company's reputation.
Yeah, the consequences could be huge.
And then with adversarial attacks, think about a power grid managed by AI. Someone could trick the AI into misreading sensor data, causing blackouts or surges.
That's terrifying.
Right, we're talking about potentially life-threatening situations.
And then with model inversion, attackers could steal critical information about the grid's vulnerabilities, basically a roadmap for sabotage.
Exactly. So you see, it's not just about securing the AI model itself, it's about securing the entire ecosystem it operates in.
And that's where the AI supply chain comes in.
Right, because AI systems are rarely built from scratch. They rely on third-party frameworks, pre-trained models, data sets.
All those ingredients have to come from somewhere.
And each one of those components is a potential point of weakness.
Like a chain, if one link is weak, the whole thing could break.
Precisely. And with AI, those weaknesses can be incredibly subtle and hard to detect.
Can you give me some real-world examples of how the AI supply chain could be compromised?
Sure. Imagine a company using a pre-trained AI model from a third-party vendor. That model could have a backdoor built in by a hacker.
So it looks like it's working fine, but secretly it's sending information back to the attacker.
Exactly. Or the training data used to create the model could be manipulated to introduce biases that only show up in certain situations.
So the AI might make good decisions most of the time, but in a critical moment, it could make a fatal error.
And these vulnerabilities are often buried deep within the system, so they're very hard to find.
It sounds like a nightmare for security professionals.
It is, but luckily, frameworks like IEC 62443 and NIS2 are starting to address this by pushing for stricter auditing and certification standards.
So it's all about creating greater transparency and accountability in the AI supply chain.
Exactly, because the consequences of a supply chain attack could be devastating.
No doubt. So we've talked about the threats, the regulations, the expanding attack surface, the supply chain risks. It's a lot.
It is. But luckily, Livingston also offers some solutions in her post.
Okay, tell me about those.
Well, she outlined several strategies for building industrial-grade AI security. And the key is to be proactive. Build security into the system from the ground up.
So don't wait for an attack to happen. Anticipate it and put defenses in place beforehand.
Exactly. It's a fundamental shift in mindset
from
reactive security to proactive security.
And where do we start?
With securing the data pipeline.
What does that involve?
Making sure the data used to train those AI models is accurate and hasn't been tampered with.
So, like, checking the ingredients before you bake a cake?
Exactly. And then there's model verification.
Which is basically double-checking your math.
Yeah. Making sure the AI model is behaving as expected and making decisions based on sound logic.
No hidden biases or backdoors.
Right, and that you have continuous monitoring.
So you're always keeping an eye on the AI's behavior and looking for any red flags.
Exactly. It's not a set-it-and-forget-it approach. It's about ongoing vigilance.
Sounds like a lot of work.
It is, but there are frameworks and technologies to help us, like zero-trust architectures.
Remind me what that's all about.
It's about assuming that no component of the system can be trusted inherently.
So you have multiple layers of security checks and never assume any single point of defense is infallible.
Right, so even if one part is compromised, the damage can be contained.
Makes sense. And what about adversarial training?
Oh yeah, that's a cool one. It's like giving the AI a sparring partner, exposing it to different attack techniques so it learns to defend itself.
Like a virtual boot camp for AI.
Haha, exactly. And then there's cryptographically verifiable model integrity.
Now that one sounds intense.
It is, but it's basically using cryptography to ensure the AI model hasn't been tampered with.
So it's like a digital seal of approval, guaranteeing that the AI is running the way it's supposed to.
Exactly. It provides a way to track the AI's history and make sure it hasn't been modified or corrupted.
And then there are secure execution environments.
Yeah, those are like isolated compartments within the computer system where the AI can run safely.
Like a fortress for the AI?
Uh-huh, exactly. They use hardware-based security features to protect the AI from outside interference.
So it's like a multi-layered approach to security, using all these different tools and techniques.
Right, and it's about tailoring those techniques to the specific risks of each application.
So it's not about finding a silver bullet, it's about building a comprehensive security framework.
Exactly. And it requires a shift in mindset from thinking of AI as just software to recognizing it as a critical part of our infrastructure.
And protecting it accordingly.
That's right.
It's fascinating stuff, and it feels like we're just scratching the surface.
We are. There's so much more to explore, especially when it comes to the future of AI security.
And that's what we'll be diving into in the next part of our deep dive.
We'll be looking at the emerging trends in AI governance, the rise of AI-powered attacks.
And the critical need for AI-driven defenses.
It's going to get even more interesting. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Before we jump in the next part, let's just quickly recap what we talked about.
Yeah, good idea. We covered a lot.
We did. So we started by talking about how AI security is way more than just protecting data now.
It's really about protecting all those critical systems that keep society running, right?
Exactly. Like power grids, transportation, healthcare, all that.
And how AI is making those systems both more efficient and more vulnerable at the same time.
Right. It's a double-edged sword for sure.
Yeah. We talked about those unique AI vulnerabilities like data poisoning and adversarial inputs.
And model inversion. Don't forget that one.
Oh, yeah. That one's a bit scary.
It is. And we talked about how those vulnerabilities could play out in the real world.
Like causing blackouts or factory malfunctions or even manipulating financial markets.
It gets pretty dark when you start thinking about all the ways AI could be used for bad stuff.
Definitely, which is why all these new regulations are popping up.
Yep, like IEC 62443, NIS2, DORA, the EU AI Act.
It's a whole new world of AI governance.
And Livingston's blog post does a great job of explaining all that.
She does. So I guess the big question is anyone actually in charge of all this?
That's the thing. It's not just one person or organization calling the shots.
So who's driving this whole AI governance thing?
Well, governments are definitely stepping up. We're seeing new laws and regulations being created all over the world.
Like those you just mentioned.
Right. Those are just a few examples.
What are some other things happening globally?
Well, there's the OECD's principles on AI, which a bunch of countries have signed on to.
What are those about?
Basically, promoting responsible and trustworthy AI development.
Okay, so making sure AI is used ethically and for good.
Exactly. And then there's the Singapore Model AI Governance Framework.
Never heard of that one.
It's more focused on practical guidance for organizations to implement responsible AI.
So like a how-to guide for ethical AI.
Yeah, something like that. So see, there's no single approach. It's a lot of experimentation right now.
Which makes sense, I guess. Every country and every industry is going to have different needs.
Exactly. It's a complex issue with no easy answers.
But it's good that people are at least thinking about these things and trying to figure it out.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's way too important to ignore.
So we've got governments creating regulations, but what about the companies developing AI? What's their role in all this?
They have a huge role to play. They can't just sit around and wait for the government to tell them what to do.
So they need to be proactive.
Exactly. And a lot of them are. They're setting up internal ethics boards, creating their own guidelines, collaborating with each other.
So it's like self-regulation, right?
Yeah, because let's be real, governments can't catch everything.
They can't be everywhere at once.
And AI is moving so fast that regulations can't always keep up.
So it's good that companies are stepping up and taking responsibility.
It is. And it shows that they understand the seriousness of this issue.
It's not just about making money anymore. It's about making sure AI is used for good.
And protecting people from potential harm.
So we've got governments, we've got companies, and we've got all these advocacy groups and researchers too.
It's a whole ecosystem working to shape the future of AI.
It's exciting, but also a bit overwhelming.
It is. There's a lot to figure out still.
What are some of the biggest challenges we need to overcome when it comes to AI governance?
Well, finding that balance between innovation and regulation is a big one.
Too much regulation and you stifle creativity, too little and you risk AI running wild.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a delicate balance for sure.
And then there's the speed of AI development. How do you create rules for something that's constantly changing?
That's a tough one. We need frameworks that are flexible and adaptable.
So we can't just set a bunch of rules and forget about it. We need to be constantly evaluating and updating them.
Right. And then there's the whole issue of enforcement.
Like, who's actually making sure these rules are being followed?
Yeah. And what are the consequences if they're not?
It's easy to write rules, it's harder to make sure people actually stick to them.
And with AI, it's even harder because it's so complex and opaque.
You can't just look at an AI system and tell if it's behaving ethically or not.
Exactly. So we need new tools and methods for auditing and monitoring AI.
Sounds like a lot of work.
It is, but it's important work. The stakes are too high to ignore it.
Well said. So we've talked about the positive side of AI governance, the efforts to promote responsible AI development,
But Livingstone also highlights the darker side of AI.
the potential for AI to be used as a weapon.
Exactly. And that's something we need to be prepared for.
So it's not just about securing AI systems, it's about defending against AI-powered attacks.
Right. It's like we're entering a whole new era of cyber warfare.
Where the attackers are using AI to outsmart us.
And the defenders need to use AI to fight back.
It's a bit mind-boggling when you think about it.
It is. But Livingston's blog post lays out some pretty clear examples of AI-powered attacks that are already happening.
Like what?
Well, one that's particularly scary is AI-powered malware.
What's that? Like malware on steroids?
Kind of. It's malware that can learn and adapt in real time, making it much harder to detect and stop.
So it's like a constantly mutating virus.
Yeah. And it can even analyze its target environment and tailor its attack accordingly.
So it's like a super smart malware that knows exactly how to exploit your weaknesses.
Exactly. And then there are AI-powered phishing attacks.
Where AI is used to craft super convincing phishing emails.
Yep, emails that can trick even the most careful users.
Because they're personalized and they sound like they're coming from a trusted source.
Exactly. AI can analyze your online behavior and figure out what kind of messages are most likely to fool you.
It's like AI-powered manipulation.
It is. And then there's the use of AI in disinformation campaigns.
Where AI is used to create and spread fake news and propaganda.
Yep. And because AI can target specific audiences with personalized messages, it can be incredibly effective at swaying public opinion.
And sowing discord and undermining trust in institutions.
It's a powerful tool for manipulating people's beliefs and behaviors.
And it's already happening, right?
Oh, yeah. We're seeing AI-powered disinformation campaigns all over the place.
It's kind of terrifying when you think about it.
It is, but the good news is that AI can also be used for good.
So it's not all doom and gloom.
Not at all. AI can be a powerful tool for defending against these attacks as well.
So it's like AI versus AR.
Exactly. It's an arms race, but the good guys have some pretty powerful weapons too.
Like what?
Well, there's AI-powered threat detection, where AI is used to analyze huge amounts of data and look for patterns that might indicate an attack.
So instead of humans trying to sift through all that data, we have AI doing it for us.
And doing it much faster and more accurately.
And because AI can learn, it can constantly get better at spotting those threats.
Right. It's like having an AI security guard that's always on duty.
That's reassuring. And what about incident response?
Well, we can use AI to automate the process of responding to attacks, containing the damage, and preventing it from spreading.
So it's like having an AI SWAT team that can instantly react to any security breach.
Exactly. And then there's AI-powered vulnerability management, where we use AI to proactively identify weaknesses in our systems.
So we can fix those vulnerabilities before they can be exploited.
Right. An AI can often find vulnerabilities that humans would miss.
Because it can analyze code and systems much faster and more thoroughly.
Exactly. So you see, AI is giving us a whole new arsenal of tools for cybersecurity.
It's like a whole new battlefield.
It is. Mm. And the organizations that win this battle will be the ones that embrace AI and use it strategically.
Not just for defense, but also for anticipating future threats.
Exactly. But it's not just about technology. It's also about people and processes.
So we need to train people on AI security awareness and create a culture of security within organizations.
It's about making sure everyone understands the risks and takes responsibility for protecting their systems.
It's a team effort, for sure.
And it's an ongoing effort. AI security is never truly finished.
It's a constant evolution.
Right. As AI gets more sophisticated, the threats will get more sophisticated too.
And we need to be ready for that.
That's why this whole conversation about AI governance is so important.
Because it's not just about technology, it's about how we use that technology responsibly.
And how we create a future where AI benefits humanity without putting us at risk.
Well said, and that's a perfect segue into the final part of our deep dive,
where we'll explore the emerging frameworks for AI governance and the challenges of balancing innovation with responsibility.
Stay tuned, there's much more to uncover. And we're back for the final part of our deep dive into AI security. We've covered a lot of ground, haven't we?
We have. From vulnerabilities to regulations to the potential for AI-powered attacks, it's a lot to wrap your head around.
It is. But I think it all leads to this final piece, AI governance. Making sure we're using this powerful technology responsibly.
Exactly. And Livingston's post really gets into the nitty-gritty of what that means.
So beyond just having rules and regulations, what does AI governance actually look like?
Well, it's about creating a culture of responsibility around AI. Asking those tough questions about ethics, about bias.
Making sure AI is being used for good, not for harm.
Right. It's about data privacy, transparency, accountability. All of those things.
It sounds like a huge task. Who's actually taking the lead on this?
It's a team effort, really. We're seeing governments stepping up with things like the EU's AI Act and the NIST framework.
Right, those were mentioned earlier. But is that enough? Just government regulations?
It's a start, but companies building AI also have a huge responsibility. They can't just wait for someone to tell them what to do.
So self-regulation, kind of like those internal AI ethics boards we're seeing pop up.
Exactly. Companies are starting to realize that AI is too powerful to just let it run wild. They need to build ethics into their processes from the ground up.
And what about all the advocacy groups and researchers out there? What's their role?
They're crucial. They're the ones keeping everyone honest, pushing for more transparency, making sure the public's interests are being considered.
It really does feel like a whole ecosystem forming around AI governance with all these different players. But that probably creates its own challenges, doesn't it?
Oh, definitely. One of the biggest is finding that balance between encouraging innovation and making sure AI is used responsibly.
Right. Too much regulation and stifle progress, but too little. And
yeah.
Well, who knows what could happen.
And then there's the speed of AI development. It's moving so fast. How do you create rules for something that's constantly changing?
It's like trying to hit a moving target.
Exactly. And then there's the question of enforcement. Who's making sure these rules are actually being followed? How do we hold people accountable?
It all sounds incredibly complex.
It is. But it's also incredibly important. We're talking about the future of technology here and potentially the future of humanity.
It feels like we're just at the beginning of this conversation.
We are. And it's a conversation that everyone needs to be a part of. Governments, companies, researchers, the public. We all have a stake in this.
Well said. And I think that's a perfect place to wrap up our deep dive into AI security.
It's been a fascinating journey.
It has. And I hope our listeners are walking away with a better understanding of the challenges and opportunities presented by AI.
Because the choices we make today about AI will have profound consequences for the future.
So stay informed, stay engaged, and keep asking questions. The future of AI is up to all of us. Thanks for joining us on The Deep Dive.